On the heels of the public release of the Economic Diversification McKinsey Report and Budget 2019, the Newfoundland and Labrador Association of Technology Industries, that we always call NATI, is urging the sitting government and all parties to make the technology sector a priority in the upcoming election. Paul Preston is the CEO of NATI, joins me live in studio. Good to meet you, Paul. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
It's one thing to make reference to the tech and innovation sector, and they sometimes, words are cool, but actions are really what counts. Where do you want to see the governments and all the parties go to talk about tech as a real important economic driver?
Yeah, so it's interesting to note that in the budget, in the McKinsey report, it was loud and clear that technology is critical for our economy and for all of our sectors, including those traditional sectors like fishery, et cetera. So we've recognized and we appreciate that technology is seen as being critical to the economy, but it's often not thought of as its own discrete sector. We know it contributes about $1.6 billion to the local economy here in terms of GDP impact, so it puts it right up there with industries like the fishery, it's as big as tourism, et cetera. And you may not know that at the outset. It also contributes, we suspect, somewhere about 4,000 jobs around the core technology sector. If you include tech-enabled organizations, the number is more like 8,700 jobs locally in Newfoundland and Labrador. So it is a big sector in its own right.
It's an important distinction to make. We're not talking about tech companies as support staff for other standing industries. Of course, that's always going to play a role, but it has to be viewed as something that's a standalone. I think that's an important point to make.
Absolutely, and it is interesting. People often think of IT companies and information technology, software development, and while that's a part of it, it includes many other things. Obviously, ocean tech is up front and center in the budget, as well as the McKinsey report, but it also includes cyber and fintech. It includes other areas, things like the biotech and medtech sector, which we see growing here locally as well. So we see that there's a lot of potential, but those companies that are doing work in those areas aren't always household names. So you have an organization like, you know, Avalon Holographics or Colab that are employing 30, 40, 50 people. If they were organizations in a traditional industry, they'd likely be a household name.
What are the hurdles then? Because it's one thing for government to be supportive and to put investment in, whether it be startups, access supercluster money, what have you. Where do you see the hurdles that need to be broke down?
Yeah, there's a great saying that says, you know, the curse of natural resources. And we see that in places like Norway and around the world, where if you have an abundance of natural resources that you can draw on, you may not always be focused on those sustainable high growth industries. We don't control commodity prices in the province. They're dictated by global forces. So when we see dips in commodity prices in those natural resource sectors, it hurts us. So we're calling for that sustained focus on the technology innovation sector so we can diversify our economy. There are a number of key challenges that face the sector locally within the province, and the number one by and far is talent. We need more talent here locally to fuel the growth of the sector.
And you know, we got to stop saying, well, you can't do that here. You don't have to be in Hong Kong or Silicon Valley or in Kitchener-Waterloo or one of the hubs that we realize or that we know about. So let's talk about talent. I heard you and Nancy Drover, who's also along with you this morning, talk about the fact that in the province of Nova Scotia, they graduate about 1,000 people a year that are headed right towards the tech sector. In this province, more like 50. So how do you deal with the talent issue? Let's start in schools before we talk about harvesting talent from elsewhere.
Yeah, so number one, K-12, it's getting the younger students to even understand and appreciate the potential of a career in technology. Technology in this province. And by the way, you can work in rural Newfoundland. You don't have to be in a city center. So there is that kind of that altruistic value of having a tech career. We know, for example, if you look at one big university here, Memorial, I think they've lost something like one-third of their faculty in computer science for a couple of different reasons, yet they expect to have double the enrollment in the year ahead. How are we going to fuel growth if we're losing faculty at the same time that we have a demand for more students in those programs? So we need to look at the role of the university, the role of the College of the North Atlantic, and the role of private institutions and private colleges. They all have a role to play to help close that talent gap. Digital literacy, getting into the K-12 system, and getting youth to consider careers in technology. The other thing I'd say about helping to close the talent gap, there is still, unfortunately, a number of underrepresented groups in the sector. And I've said publicly that if we just had more women consider a career in tech in this province, we might not have a talent gap. So there's strides we can make absolutely to encourage, you know, indigenous groups, women, and other underrepresented groups to participate in the tech sector.
Yeah, because we've been talking about women and girls with STEM in course, grade school all the way through. One of the issues that you also face regarding talent is we have a thriving tech sector that absolutely could explode and be 5-10 times its size. But what we see now is that the bigger companies with the bigger buying power and maybe the more horsepower, they're poaching talent from elsewhere. So we're really biting off our nose to spite our face.
And I mean, it's a great point. And we see them are one that talent poaching within the province, but we also see it within the Atlantic region and elsewhere. There are a number of the larger firms here that are having to go overseas to places like the UK and do job fairs outside the country just to get workers, or they're setting up offices outside the province. Immigration is an important part of the mix here. How do we increase our immigration pathways around things like tech? They're having some interesting strides to streamline immigration pathways for the tech sector. So applaud those efforts. But there's more we can do. And there's more we can do. Like myself, I've lived away. I've moved back. How do we get Newfoundlanders and Labradorians that have moved away that want to come back? There's career potential here. And what are those pathways? How do we get them to come back and contribute?
So what more does the government do? Because it sounds to me like we have a lot of work to do just simply at the university, at the post-secondary level. You know, generally at trades colleges, we'll say like CNA, they'll tailor their programs for the job market ahead for the graduates. University much more broad insofar as curiosity and extended learning opportunities. So what do you say to those folks? It's not just about staff. It's got to be about focus.
Yeah, absolutely. There's something like, I think, 800 electricians in the province that are either underemployed or unemployed. There's a lot of trades people that have been hurt by the recent downturn in the oil and gas sector. How do we retrain and get those individuals to think about a career in tech? Because you don't just have to be a programmer or a software developer to have a career in technology. There is that latent workforce, I think, that's in the province that we could pull on through retraining. So that's college programs. But I really think there's also a big opportunity for private colleges that are nimble, agile, that can get programming, you know, up and running in a short period of time. For a number of important reasons, it takes longer for the public institutions to offer programming changes. There's a big role for private sector. Maybe that's through blocks of education. Maybe it's through apprenticeship program improvements. There's a big role, I think, there for private.
Yeah, well, the bureaucracy of the big institutions is what keeps them slow and anything but nimble. And there's federal retraining dollars there for people like electricians and others. These are people with the ability to have the abstract thoughts and approach the concepts that you'll see in tech and innovation. Paul, it's good to see you this morning. Anything else you'd like to add before we say goodbye?
Just to reiterate the message, technology is a sector in its own right, as big as tourism, as big as the fishery. I talk about being on an Air Canada flight and seeing the great tourism ads. My dream is to eventually see tech celebrated the same way.
We're going to have to if we're going to find a bright economic future. Great to meet you this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Paul Preston is the CEO of Natties.